Good afternoon, dear friends. This is Talking About Important Things with Tamara Eidelman. This is our attempt to do something to counteract the propaganda conversations about important things. If you're interested in what I think not only about talking about important things, but also about many other subjects, go to my social media, you can listen to my lectures on YouTube, or you can go to Instagram and watch the stories and the riles. You can check out my other Instagram account, which is about traveling. You can read my texts on Telegram, on Facebook about history, about politics, about books, about movies, about a lot of things. In general, come subscribe, like you are welcome. So what's in store for us this coming week? I, frankly speaking, was just dumbfounded when I saw the theme World Youth Festival 2024. It was a revelation to me that in the spring of 2024 in Russia, in the Krasnodar region, will host the next World Youth Festival. I have a feeling that the creators of the manual were also a bit surprised because their proposals are very vague. They had nothing to say on this topic. What are they telling us? World Youth Festival 2024. Sirius is the federal site of the festival. Historical facts of the emergence of the World Festival of Youth and Students. Festival of Youth and Students. Festivals that took place in our country. Further, it is proposed group work to create a cluster World Youth Festival. But those who know what a cluster is. In the methodology, probably, they will be interested. And those who do not know, you will live longer. There is no point in explaining it. It's all empty talk. Next. Historical reference to the history of the World Youth Festival. Conversation. Emblems and symbols of festivals, the Dove of Peace, Picasso and others. Great, pictures can be shown, but admirable what we are offered to finish. A discussion on what theme? World Youth Festival 2024 in detail. That's a good topic for discussion. Here's a discussion on the details. Since I only recently learned that this festival was coming, I thought I'd ask around. It has, of course, a website created by Rosmolodej. I went to the photos and there were young people jubilant and they were told to stand like this in cheerful poses. It wasn't very funny right away. All right. I believe, by the way, that quite a large number of people will actually come because young people want a party, because it's interesting. They'll bring them at government expense. They'll give them uniforms. They'll have fun. It's about time. The federal site in the Krasnodar region, Sirius, is very luxurious. You can imagine the amount of money of finances will be thrown at it, how the budget can be broken there. I think there will be a lot of interesting things. When you're organizing outstanding singers, of course, there's a word that keeps coming up in diving into the meanings of each day. I think that meanings will take a lot of money. They are meanings. Again, I am not left with this feeling of immorality. The country is fighting a terrible, aggressive, brutal war. Peaceful cities are being bombed. At the same time, Russian towns and villages are also receiving reports of deaths. It is a terrible trauma. This is the moment when it is time to organize a world festival. Who else is going to be there? I'd like to know. The festivals of youth. And students' festivals, which were invented, of course, in the Soviet Union, although they have always been called World International, have existed since 1947. And all this time, on the one hand, they were, of course, always propagandistic events, thought out in order to make the youth and students aware of the importance of the world.
Events designed to propagandize the policy of the Soviet Union.
Union, in order to attract young people from different countries. This, of course, is always ideology, propaganda, done for that purpose. On the other hand, it was always just guys who came, who were interested, who wanted to watch, who maybe didn't realize the political situation, or maybe they did, but they spit on it. Different things happened, of course.
The first festival was organized in Prague in 1947, shortly after the war.
That's interesting in itself, because in 1947 Czechoslovakia
is already a place largely controlled by the Soviet Union, and the communists are rushing to power, but they haven't gained full power here yet. The absolute transfer of power to the communists and the establishment of the Stalinist regime in Czechoslovakia will take place in 1948.
And that's why, as horrible as it sounds, this Congress of Cheerful, I have no doubt. Good, kind, good young people from different countries. It was in many ways to strengthen the position of the Soviet Union, of the left forces, of the communists. 17,000 people came to Prague. Of the Soviet delegation, there were 475 people, of course, all checked. Can you imagine what it was like to go abroad in 1947? It was impossible at all. Of course, these were Komsomol members, communists, who had been checked 10 times and were, of course, under the strictest control of the NKVD. Control of the NKVD officers who went with them. In the center of the city, a Soviet tank in the center of the city to commemorate the liberation of Prague from the Nazis. And this is also a special cynicism because, in fact, Prague was liberated by the rebel resistance fighters, and a great help to the resistance fighters, I would say. Decisive help was given by the troops of General Vlasov, the same general who had defected to the Germans after he was captured. Then the Vlasovites left Prague, and the troops of the Onest Ukrainian Front entered the city, well, practically without firing a shot. However, it was always said in all official sources that Prague was liberated by Soviet troops. This tank was installed. It is difficult to say today who of these 17,000 knew about the realities of the liberation of Prague and who did not. And then, on the one hand, there were really walks, meetings, conversations, excursions. It was good. And in parallel with this, of course, they were always told about the great role of Comrade Stalin in winning the war and in building a new society and everything as it should be. A statement was adopted. The blood of young people was not spilled in vain, meaning during the war. Peace has come, but the... Peace has come, but fascism and reaction still exist. Reaction, it was implied. Quite clearly, it's the Western countries. The Cold War is already underway. There were festivals in different places, in Budapest, in Berlin, and, of course, everywhere the ideological ferment was incredibly strong. Not only that, but many, many years later, in 1985, the 12th festival will be held in Moscow. That's 1985. That's the beginning of perestroika.
A completely different world. But there would be fraternization, communication, a free tribune where everything could be said.
And at the same time, in 1985, there was a resolution of the Komsomol Central Committee's secretariat on how to communicate during the festival. This decree, as the historian writes, ordered the members of the Soviet delegation to try to start discussions every day with foreign guests. With foreign guests, for example, on where the threat to peace was coming from. Well, of course, from America. The lessons of World War II. Well, let's not let the imperialists repeat the Second World War. Of course, a very special place in the history of Russia, the Soviet Union, and probably not only occupies the Sixth Festival, which took place in Moscow during the thaw in 1957. There's an incredible amount of memories of what a powerful impression at that moment when the country, well, we can't say that it opened during the thaw. Well, it opened up a little bit, and a lot of kids came from all over the world. And how these 2 weeks for Soviet people, both young and sometimes not so young, how the world opened up for them, how they, for the first time, to see so many foreigners, to find out that they are not devils with horns and hooves, but ordinary people, to look at their lives a little bit through their eyes. Through the eyes of these people, to see how they were surprised by, say, dirt or food or control, which, of course, was also very strong at that time. For many people, the Youth Festival in 1957 was a world-changing discovery. But it was a different time. There was no internet. There were practically no channels for contact with the world around us. The Iron Curtain blocked all the ways. That's how thaw opened up a little bit. It was a small slit, nothing more.
And that's why that festival became such an outlet. And what will the festival become in 2024, where, of course, people will come from a very small number of countries? Well, we talked recently in conversations, which was devoted to Russia's allies. What allies Russia has today: China, North Korea, Belarus. Well, they will probably come from there, from Iran. Maybe they will come, they will communicate with them. There is a program on the festival's website. Well, it promises a lot of things, but in particular, it contains the main subjects, the main themes around which responsibility for the fate of the world. Well, I'm afraid the participants will be told that the responsibility for the fate of the world is to defeat the Nazis and the Banderites in Ukraine. I can only assume, by the way, that there will be who will want to object, and I fear for those people. Next, multinational unity, a world of opportunities for everyone. What opportunities are opening up in Russia today? A very sad picture of opportunities for everyone. Well, of course, they will explain what incredible opportunities in science, in business, in politics, and in many other things. Of course, let's keep the family together for the sake of children and peace. It's about the bonds. It's about condemning extremists, LGBT. It's about condemning of any deviation from the traditional family, the need for uninterrupted childbearing, and so on down the list. And finally, we are together with Russia. So, of course, it is assumed that the festival participants will be in every possible way to approve of Russia's policy, to welcome it, and to express their support for it, for Russia's policies and the special operation being carried out in Ukraine. That is, they will support the war. And huge sums of money will be spent on this, and singers will be brought there every day to look for meanings and many other things. It's sad, what can I say? And I'm reminded of the words that one of the participants of the first festival in Prague, who came there from England, from the English city of Leeds. I don't know who exactly this young man was, but I can well imagine that he was at least of a fairly left-wing views if he dared to go to this far-off Bolshevik Russia. And what did he say after the festival? The World Federation of Democratic Youth is mired in a political battleground dominated mostly by the communists. We went there to extend the hand of friendship to the youth of the world, but all we found there was a political battleground of enormous proportions where everything is one-sided. We received no friendship in return. We were fed up with the communism. We were fed at lunch, at breakfast, at dinner. We knew no peace, and my nerves were completely upset. But it is obvious that in 2024, the participants will not be fed with communism, but with Russian peace, scrapes, and things like that. How would I talk about the festival in class today? This is a tricky question. First of all, it's pretty boring in general. And it's not easy to really make it interesting for the kids. But as a historian, I would, for example, print out some snippets of reminiscences of the Prague Festival in 1947 like this. The English participants' review, which I've just read, and the numerous responses about the 1957 festival are quite different, although not everybody liked it there either. But mostly, of course, there was incredible uplift and incredible enthusiasm. There's a very interesting book by the American historian Donald Riley's Soviet Baby Boomers. I translated it once with great interest. He interviewed very many Soviet people in Moscow and in Saratov. This is a story about the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s through the mouths of the people of that era. And there's a chapter on the festival where people talk about what an incredible event it was for them. I would choose stories about the festival of 1947, the festival of 1957, well, maybe 1985, and suggest to the kids to see why people go to festivals in the first place, what they get or don't get out of them. Why are festivals held in different years, in completely different ways, and cause different attitudes? Probably because the situation in the world is different. And from that, we can come to the question, what will be the response to this festival today? Who will come to this festival? What people will get at this festival? Or what they will not get? And it doesn't have to be such a head-on agitation just to see what young people who come to the festival today can talk about. Talk to young people who will come to Krasnodar region for this festival. Frankly speaking, I do not exclude that such a conversation can quickly come to a discussion of the question, why this festival is needed at all? Why so much money is being poured into it? Who's going to come and how meaningful it all is? Well, what's grown is grown, as they say. Well, I invite you to my social networks. Come on in, subscribe, like. Good luck to all of you in talking about what's important and have a good week.